It's the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast here on DKPittsburghSports.com. I'm Chris Carter. He's Dale Lolly. And ladies and gentlemen, training camp is underway. We are 2 days into training camp now, 2 days under the belt. Now, Dale has been going to the Steelers Southside facility, the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. He's been baking in the hot sun. He's been watching these guys run with football in shorts. It's still football in shorts, but it's still good to see things back at training camp. Dale, what's it like getting your boots back on the ground and getting your first couple days in?
Boring, because of course the first 2 days are acclimation period. So they're not really in pads. It's just kind of a more an extended version of what we saw in OTAs and then mini camp. But everybody's here. Everybody's presumably healthy since the Steelers didn't put anybody on the PUP list, and they're playing football. They're getting ready to play football.
Exactly. That's the thing, is they're still getting ready. Of all the things that get overhyped about everything, when mini camp, rookie camp, and even right now at training camp, what seems to be the newest thing that everyone wants to overhype is how Ben Roethlisberger looks. And of course, it even happened before training camp officially opened on Thursday, when the Steelers simply arrived. There was just a couple pictures taken of Ben Roethlisberger with him wearing a shirt that said the word different on it. And people saying, oh, he looks in great shape. Oh, he looks in bad shape. Oh, he looks kind of the same. And Dale, it was driving me nuts. I'm like, literally training camp is here, and it's still the same nonsense of we're making mountains from molehills.
Yeah, I mean, it all stems from the report last week, I guess it was, where a guy supposedly talked to somebody in Ben Roethlisberger's camp. I don't know. I don't know how you get a camp.
Right.
I don't know what qualifies you to have a camp. I guess if you buy a camp, you have a camp. I don't have a camp myself. I've never had a camp. I'm not important enough to have a camp, I guess, but Roethlisberger kind of laughed that one off on Thursday, talking about, you know, how his camp is his wife, his trainer, and his agent. And he said, I know none of those three talked to the person who was supposedly talked to my camp about, you know, my diet and those kind of things. He's been on the same diet essentially for the last 3 years or four yeah. years or 5 years since the time he turned 35. People could talk about, Ben Roethlisberger and his weight. They don't call him Little Ben.
No.
He wasn't going to be a guy who got smaller or leaner as he got older. You know, people talk about look at what Tom Brady does. Go back and look at Tom Brady's photos.
Yeah.
From when he was drafted. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady looks like Steve Rogers pre-getting
CU jokes. I'm here for him.
The super soldier for him. That's what he looked like. He had a concave chest, for God's sakes. Ben Roethlisberger's never been that guy. He's always been a big dude. Mm-hmm. You know, he's listed at 6'5", 240 pounds. I'm a reasonably big guy myself. I'm, 6'1", 205. And he dwarfs me. That's the reality of the situation. That has done him well over the years to be that big. That's how he has the strength to shake off, would-be defensive ends trying to get him on the ground and things of that nature, blitzing defensive backs. So to expect him to suddenly show up and be 220 pounds is not realistic.
No,
it's silly. In fact, it's beyond silly. It's stupid. It's dumb. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did anybody ever complain about Jerome Bettis's weight? There were times in Jerome Bettis's career where he was pushing 300 pounds.
Yeah. And they never listed that, but we all know that was the case.
Yeah. People get caught up in these listed weights and things of that nature. You know, when Casey Hampton was listed, I believe at 305 or something like that, maybe 315. There were times when Casey Hampton's butt cheeks weighed that much. Seriously. So don't get caught up in the way. By the same token, I know for a fact that James Ferrier, who was listed, I think, at around 230 or 235, by the end of his career was weighing in around 215. because he wanted to get lighter and faster.
Yeah.
But he was a leaner athlete. You know, so don't get caught up in all the weight stuff. It's silly, meaningless stuff anyways. It doesn't matter. I was listed as being 6'3" in the newspaper in high school because I was a starting center on my basketball team, and he couldn't have a center who was 6'1". So I had to be listed at 6'3". So, you know, it is what it is. That stuff's all Tarek.
Yeah.
That's all Tarek. And as Roethlisberger said, nobody in his quote unquote camp talked to this guy.
Right.
And it's the same diet he's been on for the last 4 or 5 years. It's nothing new.
I loved how he said, "I've never eaten avocado ice cream," or, you know, just stuff like that. But it's just like, come on, like with the whole, "Oh, he's been beating Tom Brady's diet." It's like, look, Ben was fine last year physically, outside of the fact that he had to rehab an elbow. But
right.
his health has never been anything that stopped him from being who he is. And listen, he's 38 now. Like, for the people like, well, why can't
39?
He 39, exactly. My point. That's my point exactly. He's 39, and people are like, "Oh, why? Well, why can't he run around then?" Nobody can run around at that age.
Tom Brady doesn't run a bit. Roethlisberger's still more mobile than Tom Brady is.
Right.
No matter how people want to look at that. You know, and the thing about it, I had a question in the comments on my story about today, one of my stories today, or yesterday, I should say. I'm losing track of all the days. A question on one of my stories. Said, "Well, how does Ben Roethlisberger look?" And one of my favorite posters got on there and said, "Well, this person reported he looked exactly the same as he did last year in terms of throwing the football." I don't know who you're listening to. I don't know who is making that comment that he looks the same. He does not look the same. Last year at this time, we hadn't seen Ben Roethlisberger throw a football yet in person.
Right.
So to suggest that he looks the same as that is asinine.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like that. He looks like a guy who has got a fresh arm. That's what he looks like. Last year, if you remember, in training camp, Mike Tomlin was talking about how balls were fluttering out of his hands a little bit because people said, "Well, you know, he looks like he's throwing a pretty tight spiral." And Tomlin kept saying, "Hey, I've seen tighter spirals from him."
Right.
Well, I'm not seeing any of those flutter balls anymore. Mm-hmm. Last year at this time, you were just happy to see him throwing a football because he had just undergone a major elbow surgery less than a year before that. So to expect him to not look better than what he did last year, no, that's not the expectation. The expectation is for him to be better, and he said he feels better.
Right.
He hasn't thrown a football in over a month. Last year at this time, again, he was still rehabbing his elbow. He was throwing a football every day leading up to training camp.
Yeah.
He didn't take very many days off in training camp because of that. You know, he's still trying to get his arm back to where he wanted it to be. And we saw at the end of the season
what happened to him.
What happened with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wore down at the end of the season. In retrospect, should we have been surprised by that? Probably not.
Right.
Probably not.
It just makes sense. And when you again, this is a guy who's at the end of his career here. You know, when you look around the league, when you saw how Peyton Manning's career ended, even though he won a Super Bowl, that his arm was nothing like it used to be. Drew Brees last year.
Drew Brees couldn't throw a football 15 yards last year.
And that was how bad Ben ain't near that yet. And that's where I think that people are over exaggerating when he says, "Oh, his arm's going to be his arm's fine." And Dale, I know you can't say what you've seen in team practice mode over the last two practices, but you saying that the ball isn't fluttering out of his hand, the ball is feeling pretty comfortable. And I mean, and he even said in his interviews, he's like, "Hey, you know, I'm the most I threw between, you know, NFL mini camp and the start of training camp was with my kids in the backyard." His arm is going to be rested. It's going to be ready. And again, he's going to know this team. And I know that he said, like, you know, his kids are making him flashcards to help with that. And I think that was just Ben being cute with the with the media. He knows this offense. I know it's a new offensive coordinator, but he knows what's going on. They're not going to try to make him relearn how to make the wheel. Come on. This is simply about, hey, let's get reacclimated with a few new concepts. Let's make sure that we're ready and we're healthy. Let's make sure everyone's healthy. And let's get to work with this new offensive line. You got a new center. We'll talk about him in the next segment. And you got Najee Harris you're working in here. It's all about just gelling with this group because they do got a lot of new faces on the offense.
Yeah, and you know you're gonna you know it's gonna take some time for that to all gel together, so maybe you won't see Roethlisberger take as many practices off, but he is healthy, he's rested, and ready to go.
Absolutely, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back on Thursday when training camp opened, Mike Tomlin said something. It doesn't mean a whole lot, but he did talk about two starters for the Hall of Fame game that I'm sure Steelers fans will be excited to see play and get their first glimpses of them in some action. We're going to talk about that. First, we got to cut to this quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute here on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. Here on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast here on DKPittsburghSports.com. Remember, you can subscribe to all our podcasts on this platform on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere podcasts are hosted. Again, I'm Chris Carter here with Dale Lolly, breaking things down 2 days into training camp. Now, Dale, Mike Tomlin did reveal as sort of a nugget. Now, it was very tongue-in-cheek because he mentioned it was just the Hall of Fame game, but he did reveal that rookie center Kendrick Green would start at center for the Hall of Fame game against the Cowboys in a couple weeks. And then Antoine Brooks is looking like the starting slot for that game. Now, Antoine Brooks, last year, a late round pick from Maryland, a guy who was more of a box safety, who was kind of twitchy and really quick in spaces, but wasn't sure if he'd have the ability to be a deep safety. This looks closer to what his skill set could be. And you and I had talked about this after seeing him run around in minicamp as far as, what some of these guys were looking like. And again, we're just seeing these guys in football in shorts. And Mike Tomlin even said, take this for what you will, because it's just the Hall of Fame game. Some people are going to ride this to the moon and say, hey, these are the starters. This is the future. Dale, I think this is just them feeling out and saying, okay, guys, you've looked okay in these warmups that we've been doing. Let's see how you do in a couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I think Tomlin's point was, these are the guys that are going to get, we're going to play these guys a lot in that Hall of Fame game. So let's get them acclimated. They're new guys, realistically new guys in the starting lineup. We saw, some of them last year, but not a ton. In the case of Green, not at all. So, they're going to need to get up to speed on playing NFL football. So, let's get it going here. Let's get it started. I'll say this though, I haven't seen too many instances over the years, and this is year 28 for me.
Yeah, you've been seeing this a lot.
Where they've had a rookie or a new guy open, a rookie in particular. There's not many instances I can think of, if any, where they've had a rookie open camp as the starter and not be the starter on opening day.
Now, the thing is, Dale, is, and this is something we got asked a lot going into this training camp, was would BJ Finney be the guy until they feel that Kendrick Green is ready? Do you think that says a lot about his ability to communicate? Because Ben did say in passing back on Thursday, he was like, hey, he did all right. No one can replace Pouncey, but, we didn't fumble a snap, and he was calling out the calls. Do you think that is a legitimate step to show that, hey, he's at least risen to the challenges that they've presented him?
Yeah, I think so. And I'll tell you what, athletically, he's pretty damn good.
Okay.
There was some stuff that I saw that I've seen over these first couple of days that, like, okay, all right, young man, that's some of the stuff that I saw watching your tape at Illinois, and maybe even a little bit beyond that. So, I think the kid can play. And I think Steeler fans are going to like him. He is he's a ball of fire out there, and he does a lot of stuff that reminds you of some other centers at the Steelers had here. I'm not going to put him on that pedestal. I'm not going to do that to the young man. But I like what I see. Let's put it that way.
I mean, the Steelers have maybe the greatest collection of centers in NFL history between Mike Webster, Demonte Dawson, and then you throw in Marquise Pouncey. That's a pretty crazy trio to have. And it's a pretty crazy legacy to be coming after, you know, a guy who was first team all 2010 NFL, or all NFL 2010s for that decade team. But still, I think it says a lot that they're sounding confident about him, that he's able to make calls, and that he's looking athletic out there too. That means that he's believing in himself. He's not feeling like holding back. Those are all really positive things that you want to see out of your young center that's gelling into your offensive line. Dale, I just, there's so many questions. The offensive line is one of the biggest question marks of this season. If this offensive line stinks, this team is in a lot of trouble. But if they're even just decent, they don't have to even be great, just a decent offensive line that does the minimum on the run game and make sure Ben doesn't get hit too much, this could be a very dangerous football team. At least that's how I feel it.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are kind of looking at this and going, well, it's going to be an awful offensive line. What was last year's offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking just at the run metrics, they were not very good. They were at the bottom of the league, and yet somehow the team still went 12-4.
Yeah.
They've got the same offensive weapons back on the outside, and they've added to it with Najee Harris. They've added to it with Pat Freiermuth. The defense should be one of the top defenses in the league this year. In fact, Football Outsiders came out with their almanac earlier this week, or late last week, I should say. And they're saying that the Steelers, by their metrics, should have the number one defense in the league this year. Mm. They were not the number one defense in the league last year. I think they were second or third.
I think they were number three in points. Yes.
And I think they ended up second. They might have been first last year in Football Outsiders metrics. But regardless, it's going to be a dangerous defense. That can carry you a long way. Again, they're the defending AFC North champions, not the Browns. Not the Ravens.
Right.
You know, so we'll see what happens here. I know everybody's focused on what happened in the playoffs, and I get it. That was the last game of the season. Nobody talks about the 38-7 beatdown that the Steelers put on the Browns at Heinz Field early, you know, midway through last season.
When they had most of their team.
Nobody's talking about the Steelers sweeping the Ravens last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see how this goes. I mean, that's why they play the games. I'm not saying that, you know, I haven't made my pick yet here. I probably won't pick the Steelers to win the division this year. That's the way the AFC North goes.
Yeah.
But these people picking the Steelers to win six or seven games, I'm sorry.
I don't see it.
They won eight games 2 years ago with Mason Devlin Rudolph Hodges. And Devlin Hodges. Devlin Come Hodges on. Starting six games for them.
Yeah.
And they went 8-8. Devlin Hodges won't be an NFL player this year.
No.
You know, so I'll believe it when I see it. I've covered too many of these things. Again, this is season 28, and I've seen three losing campaigns here for the Steelers. They'll find a way to get it done.
Right. I feel like that they will inevitably pull it together and find the answers that they need. I mean, it's also these misconceptions that, like you said, are just made of the offensive line from people that just want to make these things up. I mean, Mike Greenberg, and I get it. Some of these guys nationally, they don't got time to stare at a team and look at them the way that you and I do. But Mike Greenberg went on on ESPN. Was it Thursday morning, I think? And he was talking about, oh, well, Ben took a lot of hits last year from that offensive line, and he's going to be – Ben didn't take a lot of hits. Like, he's one of the least hit quarterbacks in the league. And it's just – people have these preconceived notions of what's going to happen with this team. And I just, and some of them maybe are just based on what they hope happens with this team. I don't know, but I know.
It's a kind of thing, Chris, where, you know, if you think back to the old Warren Sapp comment about, you know, the Steelers are old, slow and done. If you say stuff like that long enough, if you say, you know, there was another radio host in Pittsburgh who, from about the year 2000 on, continued to say that Jerome Bettis was done.
Mm-hmm.
And all he did was play five more years. If you say somebody's done long enough for a long enough time,
eventually you'll be right. The
Mike Tannenbaum thing, who's been saying for 3 years now that Roethlisberger's done, eventually you're going to be right. Eventually.
Right.
And nobody's going to know, you know, will anybody remember that? Well, I'm sorry. I just, and maybe I'm completely off off the reservation on this thing. Maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about, but this does not look like a 6 or 7 win team to me. There's too much talent there. There's too much all pro talent on this roster, and there's too much depth at the skill positions and things of that nature for this to be a 6 or 7 win team. I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm with you. I'm going to believe it when I see it type of deal. And again, I was talking to on a Chicago radio show, brought me on to do bets, and they said the over under is the Steelers at 8.5 wins. And I was like, take the over. I mean, on top of the fact that they had one of the best defenses in the NFL last year, they still got a franchise quarterback. They got a playmaker running back now, and they still got those receivers. They've never had a losing season under Mike Tomlin. And to have 8 wins, they'd have a losing season. It would take some cataclysmic injuries to put them in that position. And we've even seen when they've had cataclysmic injuries, they've still found a way to avoid losing seasons. So, I'm right with you, Dale. This is an organization that knows how to pull it together. I think it's very interesting that we're seeing Kendrick Green make this kind of progress as a rookie. We'll see what kind of progress actually shows up in a couple of weeks during that Hall of Fame game, which we'll be covering right here on DKPittsburghSports.com, along with all of our other Steelers coverage. Dale, thanks so much for doing the show with me as always. It's always fun to do the Lonnie Carter Steelers podcast with you. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to us. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Also, rate us 5 stars with a positive comment. That doesn't just help us out. It helps out every show on the podcast network, whether it's DK's Daily Shots or 66 to 87 or Pirates podcast to be named later, or my H2P podcast. All of those things get helped out by those things. Again, thanks to Dale. Thank you, the listeners, for tuning in. I'm Chris Carter. Be back in your ears next week with more Lolly Carter Steelers podcast as we get more eyes on what's going on in Steelers training camp.